going to talk about the race in the race. We're going to talk about what's happening to the Democratic Party, especially to Mr. Barack Obama and the race on race. And our guest this morning is Stephen Block. He's a professor of politics in the media. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Julian.
Thanks for joining me here this morning.
You're most welcome.
So here's my take on it. It's called the race on race. There's the white vote, there's the black vote, there's the brown vote, there's the Asian vote, there's the Latino vote. There's the northern states, the southern states, there are the blue states and the red states. There's the female vote, the blue-collar vote, there's the poor vote, there's the rich vote, there's the urban vote, there's the rural vote, and now they've added pulpit politics.
Well, they've added pulpit politics, except, of course, pulpit politics goes back at least 25 years. You had a candidate for the presidency 25 years ago or 24 years ago who was a preacher, and he was a very conservative one. But you mentioned all those different diverse communities, and that was the appeal of Barack Obama all the way along, was that he actually mentioned every single one of those communities and areas and states in many of his speeches as a means of essentially saying that he intended to transcend all these differences. And he was, you know, largely successful, but as you know, he was accused by Bill Clinton and by Hillary Clinton of just, you know, being good at writing and delivering flowery speeches.
We can call that the Clinton machine.
And they started making some inroads, although not enough, obviously, because Obama, to his credit, I mean, I think the last time we spoke, my view was that Clinton really was the better debater, and that if she were more forceful, she would probably, take command of the race once again. But in fact, Obama has grown very considerably, and as the speech he delivered last week on this very subject was very compelling.
It certainly kept me entranced for 45 minutes.
Well, I, along with 3 million other people, saw it on YouTube. So, I mean, that really says quite a bit. But you're right. I mean, the speech was meant to deal with his own minister, who from the pulpit has made some very incendiary speeches over many years, and he distanced himself from the content, but quite nobly, I thought, not from the actual individual who he said he's known for a number of years, and it's impossible to just, you know, kind of excise somebody that close from your life.
When I was working as a journalist, there was a lot of people who would let me ask them questions, but no matter what question I asked them, they would come up with the answer that they had prepared. So the first 3 seconds of their answer would deal with the question I asked them, and then they would flip to the answer that they had predetermined that was their message that they want to get out. And I'd say that the Clinton machine is expert at doing that. Whereas Obama has gone with one word, this change, you know, trying to make it different, trying to change it. And when he looked America in the face from that pulpit, from his podium, addressed each and everything that happened, comparing the things that minister said to things that his white grandmother said that he didn't like, that he didn't agree with, he just took my belief in him to another step, to another level.
It's quite amazing when you see someone like Peggy Noonan, who was Ronald Reagan's former speechwriter, referring to the speech as lovely. I mean, a right-wing Republican calling Barack Obama a left-wing liberal's speech lovely. That's quite transcendent.
Even Pat Buchanan was kind.
Well, Pat Buchanan, because he hates Hillary Clinton, has been fairly kind to Barack Obama for quite a lengthy period. But you know what impressed me? He's often compared to John Kennedy, or even actually to FDR in some respects. But what really struck me was the sense that I had of his similarity with Robert Kennedy, who in 1968 had to take on a war and had to take on he delivered an absolutely magnificent speech on the occasion of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And that, by the way, I really recommend that people go and look that up online and read the speech. It was extremely stirring. And I had the same feeling about Barack Obama. The polls indicate that he has fallen off in various sectors, and that he's actually running behind John McCain for the independents. But we'll have to see how this swings, because, as I said, he's been able to respond to hardship on his campaign, and that was, you know, people said he would be tested, and we'll have to see how he responds, and up until now, he has passed the test. I'm quite surprised.
I think it's very interesting that you bring up that Robert F. Kennedy speech, because Bobby Kennedy's speech, in my opinion, and I brought this up last week in a completely different environment, I thought that Robert Kennedy's speech opened the path for Barack Obama to run for the presidency. I thought that was one of the most liberating, open your minds, America speeches that I'd ever heard.
It was truly remarkable. I mean, he was trying to heal the wounds, because obviously the African American community was in deep mourning, and,
yeah,
and there was a lot of anger at the same time, and instead of kind of fanning or fueling the fire, what he did was he appealed to people's sense of reason, and it's not often that you hear a politician in the modern world kind of becoming philosophical, not to say poetic in some respects, and so I was mightily impressed with Barack Obama.